Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Hello, everybody out in the universe. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. Today, you're going to be super excited because I've got an amazing conversation for you. I'm joined by my dad.
Hi, everybody.
And today, we're going to be talking about stereotypes and how we can tend to march to the same drum as everybody else and look to
fit
in.
Well, that's what you have to do in order to have, you know, it's like in order to march to the same drum as everybody else, you have to create yourself as a stereotype.
So what do you mean by stereotypes?
Well, it's like one of the things I noticed about the people that, you know, like are serious Trump supporters. They are all stereotypically unwilling to see any point of view that doesn't match his. So they want to know that they are getting along with him and that he supports them because they support him, as though that's real. And people don't support you because you agree with them, but a lot of people believe that. So the stereotypical point of view of somebody who aligns and agrees with you is that because they align and agree with you, you will align and agree with them. Not necessarily the truth. But there's a cadence to stereotypes. It's like literally they walk to the same tune. They function the same way. It was interesting to talk. I talked to two people. I was kind of personally horrified by the fact that Trump has been putting kids in detention centers, separating them from their parents, just like the Gestapo did. And nobody cares. And it's like, for me, it's like, that's just horrifying. And I personally think that something should be done about it, but nothing's happening. So I was talking to some people and they said, oh, it's so much safer now that Trump has put up the wall. He's put up 25 feet of wall or something like that. That's really all that's been done. And other than that, he's done some replacement of some of the, you know, barbed wire fences that were there, but in places that nobody cares. And it's been an interesting thing to see how these people see the world. They see the world through their filter of reality. This one lady I knew was in San Diego, and she says, yes, things have been so much safer in San Diego since Trump came into power and put up the wall and stopped the people coming across. Well, there's a great movie you really ought to watch, which is called A Day Without a Mexican, which is how this pink cloud shows up in California, invades all of California, and all the Mexicans disappear. And suddenly there's no traffic on the roads. There's no garbage. There's no, you know, it's like there's a whole lot of things come to a halt. Without the Latino population, California doesn't work. So it's like it's so interesting to realize that people never look at this other aspect. They only look at what matches their point of view. And my mother was, you know, was anti-Latinos as well. And I was horrified that she felt that way. But she, you know, she thought that she had bought the point of view that they were using all of the Social Security money and they were using all the hospitals and all the free clinic stuff. But in reality, they aren't and they don't. Because they don't have green cards, they actually have to stay under the radar. So they can't go to public things and use them.
So what does this have to do with stereotyping?
Well, the stereotype is that people who look at this, who march to the same drum as Trump, they are stereotypically not willing to see anything that doesn't match the reality they've already decided is so.
Well, that's not just true for just them. That's how a lot of people
function. That's all people who do stereotypes.
What you said actually earlier was
If they think if you buy their point of view that you're going to agree with them
forever. But that's how many people function.
Yes, but most people are trying to fit a stereotype so they know where they fit in the world and,
okay,
you know, and
right,
who likes them.
Right. Which is what's so interesting about interesting point of view.
Yes.
Because it makes it so you're not buying anybody's point of view, including your own, which in its very nature makes a lot of people very uncomfortable.
Good.
And it must be because when you're being interesting point of view and you're not aligning, agreeing, or resisting and reacting to people's points of view, they don't know how to fit you into the stereotype.
Yes, they don't know how to stereotype you, and they don't know how to cast you into a box that they can control.
And exactly, control, and they don't know how to control you.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that interesting point of view is...
it's one of the greatest tools ever.
One of the greatest tools, and sort of places to function from ever, because it makes it so that you don't have to buy people's points of view. You don't have to be controlled. How many of you guys agree with others or disagree with others as though that's going to make your life greater, easier, freer, and better? And does it actually work, or does it just make you at the effect of the stereotypical realities?
Mostly it just makes people effect of. You know, it's like I watch people who, you know, it's like I get a lot of calls from people who are trying to handle their families. And in their families, they're always trying to figure out how to make everything work the way they think it's supposed to work.
The way they think it's supposed to work.
Supposed
That's
to work.
Such
you know,
a big,
like,
yeah.
And there's, it's like, what I want to know is, how did they get supposed to? I mean, it's not like we have... You know, stereotypes on TV that you good ways to work.
Just so everyone knows, he's being completely sarcastic right now.
What?
Well, you know, if I can be like honest about something that I'm kind of embarrassed, but also really relieved to have recognized, was somewhere in the last month, I actually realized that there wasn't a supposed to or a one way that relationships were supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you've been trying to teach me that. And I remember when I got together with the man I'm currently married to, for like the first couple of years, I literally remember thinking in my head, is this the way it's supposed to be? Is this the way it's supposed to be? And what I was doing, and what I've only recently recognized, which might actually be because of the stereotypical that you just did, I was believing that there was a stereotypical way that relationships were supposed to function, rather than recognizing that literally every two people has a completely unique set of dynamics that create a completely different kind of relationship.
Yeah.
And we walk around and watch on TV and see in movies and believe that relationship is this one, because we literally has one word that is supposed to.
Well, in the stereotypical relationship, what you hear a lot is, you hurt me.
Okay.
And it's like, how did I hurt you? No one can hurt you. No one can make you happy. Nobody can make you unhappy. You can choose to be unhappy. You can choose to be hurt. You can choose whatever you want. But all of it is about what makes you right and what makes them wrong, so that you're right, they're wrong, and you can now leave.
So is that another stereotypical personality? I'm right, you're wrong.
Yes.
Which is how a lot of people destroy their relationships.
Well, it's how they destroy all relationships, you know?
Wow.
It's like all relationships are destroyed by the necessity to be right and the unwillingness to be wrong.
And so many people really genuinely struggle with getting out of rightness and wrongness.
Yes.
That's like a legitimate
struggle.
Even the people who get the power of interesting point of view, to whatever degree they get it and really apply it, still can be susceptible to being right.
Well, it's like you're taught, you know, get it right, get it right, get it right, get it right, get it right. As a kid, you know, it's like you're supposed to get it right, you're supposed to do it right, you're supposed to, you know.
As though rightness exists.
As though rightness is real. Rightness doesn't make it real, it just makes it rightness.
Yeah, because who says, you know, a conversation we were having with somebody yesterday who's a lawyer, he was talking about how he's done a lot of studying about like the theory, like law theory.
Yeah.
And he's been really fascinated over the years. And a lot of like a lot of the people who have created a lot of the, I guess like the philosophies and theories of law, really ultimately it boils down to like who determines what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
As though right and wrong exist.
As though they're true.
As though they're true and real. And they're not. They're completely invented and subjective.
Yes, they're subjective for sure.
So how does that work in with the stereotypes?
Well, the thing is, the stereotypical person who's right is righteous in their point of view and believes that they have it right. Like the Trumplers who think that Trump has it right. We have to keep all these people out. It's like, what are you missing when you keep people out of your life? You know, it's like with relationships, people want to kick people out of their lives. They're looking for how to get rid of people, not how to include people. And if you don't include, then you must exclude. And if you exclude, then you can't receive.
So what stereotypical, can we do a stereotypical relationship process?
Sure. So what jails are you using to create the dominance of E equals MC squared to be and live in a stereotypical world in which everything is predetermined and decided and you have no real choice? You only have to show up to make sure that you entertain everybody else. Are you choosing?
Oh.
Everything that is times a godzillion. We just trying to create it all.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all lead, pud, puck, shirts, boys, and beyonds. That was a bit massive.
Yeah. Well, you asked and...
So the predetermined realities.
Yes. Well, it's like the thing is we actually try to take on the stereotypical points of view in order to have a predetermined reality to be, you know, to think that everything is predetermined. I am meant to be with this person.
Or I'm meant to go to medical school.
Or I'm meant to whatever.
Be a daughter. And I'm meant to be a husband.
Yep.
So those are the stereotypes.
Yes.
So husband, daughter, medical student, would that be?
Those are all stereotypical points of view. And with being a daughter comes, I must obey my mother. Now, we know that that works for you. Not. And it's like... Yeah,
wow,
it's like,
that's
that doesn't
so
work for
interesting.
Any of my kids.
In that, I've just recognized how I actually have failed at my stereotype in so many ways.
Well, it's like if you don't live from stereotypes and you don't try to control yourself through stereotypes, then you can actually live and choose.
Which I haven't really. So, I mean, I would say that you and my own basic personality has. I've always been different, and I've always been willing to not be normal.
Well, it's like you couldn't be normal if your life depended on it.
So daughter actually legitimately makes no sense to me.
Correct. And the thing is, for those of you where some stereotype doesn't make any sense, it's because you don't actually fit in that.
Wow.
If you're trying to make yourself fit in that, then all you do is feel how you are on a different path than everybody else is. And you tend to then make yourself wrong.
Totally. And even when I say husband or wife, to me, it's like I have no idea.
So
what
which
I'm,
are you, the husband or the wife?
I'm actually probably more the husband.
Well, you could be, you know, you could be considered the husband because of the way you handle finances, the way you handle things, and the way you kind of control things. But there is also the part of being a wife because the wife also controls the husband.
But really, so, in regards...
You sort of go back and forth.
But I also don't have either as a reality.
No.
And so whenever I say my husband or whenever I hear wife, it to me it feels so incongruent and awkward. It's just awkward for me.
Yes, it's incongruent with your being. And the thing is, stereotypes are mostly incongruency with being.
So all the stereotypes that you're trying to get right that eliminate...
Well, all the stereotypes you're using to create the place you belong, how many are you choosing?
I'm just trying
to create all those. Right and wrong, good, bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that just made me feel so much better.
Yeah. Well, it's like the thing is, you got to get that you can function from these things. You can function with these things, or you can function outside of these things. Which one works for you?
Hmm.
You know, the reality is, functioning with them is, you figure out when to use them and when not, which is how you can slide from being husband to wife. To husband, to wife, to husband, to wife. And therefore, there is no specific result that you have to have, or a specific thing you have to do.
And what's so exciting about this conversation is it's giving people a place to recognize where they have been trying to seek a stereotype that isn't actually working for who they be.
Well, it's like it's not actually working because it isn't who they be.
It isn't who they be.
You know, it's like it can't work. So if you try to function as something, then you will bend, staple, fold, and mutilate you and stick you up your own ass to try and make that work.
We were just watching, before we started this podcast, I came over and Dad had on TLC, I think it's a channel, and it was all like bride Say yes to the dress. I have actually never seen that show before, so this is my first time. And the women who were shopping for these dresses, the longer and longer the dress shopping went on, the less and less happy they were.
Yeah.
And in the end, it was like their sisters were criticizing them. The salesperson were like mortified by the family, but also at the same time trying to make the sale. The bride was like completely uncomfortable and literally getting less and less happy.
Yeah.
Bride is a super stereotype.
Oh my God. I'm a bride. Which is why they came up with that show called Bridezilla.
Which it's like, as a bride, you're supposed to be happy about it, but it's like, how many of you guys out there have ever been a bride, and how many stresses and strains did that create?
Well, I mean, it's like being a bride means you're under nothing but stress.
Which is
because your family has to get involved, his family has to get involved, everybody has to be a part of something. And it's like, and they're all critical of the fact that you're getting together.
So what other choices do people have? And can we use maybe bride as an example of a stereotype? Yeah. What other choices could people have?
Well, it's like if you were to, you know, secretly sneak off to get married, which is what you did.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fine. You know, because you're not trying to include all those people who are critical of you getting together in the first place.
So that's actually exactly what I did. And I've since had a slight sense of regret, which is a distractor implant.
Yes. But the thing is, it's like you got to get. The reason you regret it is because you don't get to have that trauma and drama.
Which is, and like I do say, it's a very light form, a very, very slim form of regret. And I think I mostly actually have been perceiving the disappointment in other people's worlds for not being
Some of us were actually happy for you. Okay.
Right.
I did warn you and your husband that, you know, marriage between the two of you was not going to be easy.
And it has been and it hasn't been.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
And when it isn't, he'll call me or you'll call me and then I can make it easier.
So it's sort of like a very unstereotypical marriage in that regard, because we actually include a lot of other people in making it work.
Yeah. But the thing is, you will include him in making it work and he will include you in making it work. And occasionally he will include himself in making it work. and always you will include you in making it work.
Just, I would like to go on record as the disclaimer that the reason he doesn't always include him as making it work is not something having to do with me. That is something he is choosing.
Yes. And the thing is, you got to get this. Everybody chooses. And it's like whatever stereotype you're living or trying to live by, it's like it doesn't work.
Should we talk about the astrotypical personalities?
Sure, we'll talk about that. So one of the things we've discovered very recently is astrotypical personalities and astrotypical realities. Now, they are the basis off of which stereotypes were developed. And the astrotypical personality is where people think this is the way they have to function. And even though it's like, you know, it's like with you not being a stereotypical person, you will try to not be stereotypical and you may be creating astrotypical instead. But not everybody does that.
Okay.
Now, astrotypical is where, you know, where you think you are subject to your stars.
Mm.
You know, it's like, it's the basis, I think, of what was used to create astrology, to predetermine and to determine what you were destined to be and destined to have and destined to do.
Right.
And it's like, the thing about access is we break destiny.
And in an access choice.
Yes.
Break destiny, access choice.
Yes. Access choice, you have not destiny, but creation. And most people are not willing to create. So the astrotypical personality is designed so you can be entertained by what you choose, not choose what you do.
I just need to pause for a second because what you just said is like so big.
Yes.
Entertained by what you do rather than
create by what you choose.
And it's like, how many of you guys are entertained, but in a horrifying way?
That's still entertaining. Horror is very entertaining. Why do you think there's so many horror films on the TVs and movies?
Right, right. And I mean, what you said, and obviously this is a conversation for not for something complete. If you want something different and you know something is different, this conversation is for you.
Well, this is now part of the COP, you know, the choice of possibilities. And it's like literally when you finally get that you get to choose all possibilities, and all possibilities are available if you choose them, you begin to realize you are going to have to create your life. And most people try not to create their lives. They keep one toe in their life, and then they keep nine toes in this reality.
Well, they're really keeping like one toe or more toes in like what you're calling destiny.
Yeah.
And if I look at that, it's like, how many of you guys listening to this right now, if you really are honest with yourself and you look at what is your predetermined future supposed to be, I know if I look at my husband, like based on his family's points of view and stuff that he's bought from them, his predetermined future is supposed to be actually quite limited. That's his destiny, is to sort of suffer.
Well, that's, yeah, but he does it well.
He does, and he does it well. We should have entered in with that when we signed the marriage contract license. There should have been a clause in there that said, if you marry Shannon, you're going to have your most personal things talked about in public often. Do you agree?
Yes. You will have to realize you will become a subject of, you know,
example,
of ridicule in the world. No, I'm not ridiculing the man. The man is like, he's making new choices and making different choices and changing all the time. I am grateful for his change. And it's like, if any of you ever come to class when he's there, I just give him shit all the time because I know what he's capable of. And his creative capacities are off the fucking chart if he will choose them. But he has to choose them and I can't make him.
Which is interesting.
Which is pissed off to me.
Well, because what you see is what's possible, and those creative capacities are not what match his astrotypical personality and the destiny he's already committed himself to.
The problem is he's predetermined by his astrotypical personality and reality that this is what I'm going to have in my life.
And so everywhere that I've run into the predetermined destiny, like of being a fat person or being old and ugly and alone and all that, like I catch it and I question it.
Question, choice, possibility, and contribution are the four elements that break all that.
Right.
And it changes destiny. What was that one that Heath Ledger was in, The Knight's Tale?
Yeah.
You know, it's like his father says, you can change
your
stars.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
And that's such a beautiful way of putting it. You can change your stars. Your destiny is maybe written in the stars, but you can change your stars by the choices you make. So choose and change.
And also destroying and uncreating all the astrotypical personalities and implants and explants and
everything else.
Can you run a little humdinger for people?
Oh, this is going to be a kick-ass one. So what jails are you using to create the dominance of E equals MC square to create your life as the predetermined destiny? The astrotypical personality, the astrotypical reality, and the need to be entertained rather than to create, are you choosing? Everything that is times a godzillion, we destroy and create it all. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. And where things came for me is I realized I had this need to create, not this need to find my destiny. I was never looking for my destiny. I was always looking to create a different reality.
Oh my God. I had this need to create, not find my destiny. What a different point of view to function from.
A very different point of view. And I didn't realize that everybody didn't have that.
Huh.
You know, but I think you had that even as a little kid.
Oh yeah. Like I will never be subject to anything other than my choice.
Yes. You know, it's like you've always wanted to create. You've always been an incredibly creative person. And you will not be subject to the destiny. And you will not look for where you're destined to be, who you're destined to have in your life, what's right for you. You know, it's like you always look for what else is possible.
Well, I just realized in this conversation, especially after you just ran that humdinger of a process, that as an astrotypical personality, I had fat, ugly, and alone as one of my astrotypical destinies.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Right, Runka Battle, Nine Pud Puck Shorts, Boys and Beyonds.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting now that, I mean, I'm literally having this realization now in this conversation.
I know. That's one of the reasons I love doing podcasts with you is because I watch you go, but what?
And when you first told me about the astrotypical personalities a few days ago, I didn't really get it, which is fine because there's a lot of stuff that you've brought up that I haven't gotten. But then over days and more conversation, yeah. It like clicks. But this thing about ending up old, fat, ugly and alone was in my world.
Like me.
But it was like always there, like this thing that was sort of like this threatening thing that I never knew how to handle or choose around.
Well, if you don't know how to handle it, it's because you're trying to deal with an astrotypical personality or an astrotypical reality that has nothing to do with you.
Right. And exactly. And because when that would come up or that thought would cross my mind, I'm going to end up old, fat, ugly, and alone. It was weird to me because I felt like it was something I had no choice around.
Yes. And that's the whole idea of those astrotypical points of view and realities and stuff.
Thank you so much.
You know, so this, you know, starting to deal with this and recognize this and go, okay, am I doing an astrotypical personality or astrotypical reality here? Okay, what other choice do I have? And it's like, as long as you have the point of view, what other choice do I have? Things are different. I mean, I think it's funny because, you know, it's like everybody says, well, you're old and you're going to be alone and you're going to be decrepit. And I look around and I go, I'm not going to be like those people. I'm not going to be like those people. I'm not going to be like those people. So what am I going to be like? And it's always a question. What am I going to be like? And it's like, I don't feel old. I don't act old. I've been walking, talking, and moving as though I'm old, but that's because of some physical trauma that I put myself through. But from that physical trauma, I've also created a whole bunch of new processes and stuff that help me and everybody else.
Which is, by the way, completely not stereotypical because you took something that would have flattened, floored, stopped, inhibited.
And killed.
Most people, and you actually turned that into possibility.
Yes, because I know that somewhere I had to have created it, so what did I create it for? And I always look at it as like, if this is something I'm not enjoying, I created it for some reason, what did I create it for? So what do I need to learn from this? What is possible with this I never considered?
Question.
Yes.
And I thank you for coming forward with the astrotypical personality thing because I didn't even realize that I had that like old, ugly, alone destiny in my stars that I actually had that I was in reaction to, but felt totally subject
unable to change.
Until this astrotypical personality.
Yeah. And now you can change it.
It feels completely accessible now to me.
You know, it's like, and for me, it's like I've watched TV programs about old people and I've watched, you know, these old people on these different it's like these people are old and it's like, and they're feeble, but they are trying to prove that they're not. I never try to prove that I am or I am not. I am being what I am at the moment.
So,
never prove, just be.
So if you guys are interested in not being subject to the same stereotypes, destinies.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you think you've achieved your destiny, I mean, that's one of the things I notice is people, you know, said, well, I finally achieved all my goals, which means from them, their point of view is they have achieved their destiny.
Now it's time to die.
Once you achieve your destiny, then it's time to die.
Which is actually impossible because you never die.
Not really. No, your body dies, but you don't. So it's like realizing, you know, it's like realizing that you may not be an immortal soul because that's the idea that you are this one identity, which is an astrotypical personality.
Right, wrong, good, battle, night, put puck shirts, boys and beyonds.
It's like when you get to the point where you realize, okay, so what is actually possible here? What could I do or be or create or generate? And it's like I'm still creating and generating at 77 on a daily basis. Everybody tells me I should retire.
Everybody? I've never heard anybody say that to you.
Well, everybody who's over 70.
Because you're making them look bad.
I know. And I like making them look bad.
I just, have such an interesting like insight into like this thing where once they have achieved their destiny, it's time to die. But like, since you never die, like this is something I think is interesting. Like so many people avoid creating their lives.
They avoid creating their lives as though if they create their lives, they'll achieve their destiny sooner and have to die sooner.
But then they have to come back and do, but then they have to come back and do, like there is no, the thing that's really blows my mind is there actually is no way of avoiding choice and consciousness.
Well, there is.
You're putting off the inevitable.
Yes. Because inevitably you're going to have to choose consciousness if you want to create anything. And the thing is, it's like the hard part for me is people don't get, but by their choices, they're creating their future. Everything you choose today is creating the future you'll have tomorrow. So what can you do or be today that could create the tomorrow you'd like to see?
Which is words that I've come to live by.
Yes. It's much easier to live with and by and for those than it is to live by the destiny you're meant to have.
And this is the Actions for Futures conversation and something that we can definitely explore more because it is vital. And
well, it's very vital and people don't get that, you know, what you choose today determines what you have tomorrow. Yeah. It's like I always tell the story about when I was younger and I was working at a restaurant and all my friends would work for 2 weeks solid. And then they would take 2 weeks off and go to the beach and get suntans. I think part of the problem was I found the beach boring. They didn't. And, but I would work like 4 days a week so I could have 3 days to go play. And it's like I liked my 3 days of playing, but I would work on the weekends so I could have time off during the week so I wouldn't have to put up with all the idiots that were there on the weekends. And it's like, and everybody thought I was crazy, but I always had the money coming in all week. They would have no money when it came time to get the rent, so they'd have to work really hard for 2 weeks to get their rent together. I thought, wow, you're not working all the time to make your life easier. You're working part-time to fulfill your debts, etc. And it's a crazy way to live, but a lot of people live that way.
They sure do, and it's short-sighted.
Yes, very short-sighted. And it's not creating a long-term possibility. It's creating a short-term fulfillment of need.
But most people don't actually recognize that they have a future and realize that they have to create their lives.
Well, it's like they have a destiny. So if you have a destiny, you don't have to look to how you're creating your future. You just have to wait for your destiny to catch up with you.
And it's so funny because the word destiny seems like it has sparkles around it, but so many people's destiny is just the grave.
Yeah. Well, they're destined to die. And that's really all they're waiting for.
But that they can't actually die.
No. And it's like, but their body can die and they're waiting for their body to die so they can be free.
And wait till you guys turn into entities. You'll see there's a ton of entities being like, fuck, I didn't handle that shit that I thought I needed to handle. Damn it, I'm not at peace. Oh gosh, I need to handle a lot of stuff.
Now I have to go back and do another body.
That's one of the greatest gifts to my life is talking to so many entities because after they died, in all the ways that people can die, whether it's natural causes, suicide, car crash, war, etc. So many of them were like,
I should have done that better.
They're not at peace with how their life went.
No. And the thing is, it's like they don't see that they created their life. They only see that they achieved the end, which is death. You know, I refuse to achieve the end yet, but I will eventually. But I'd like to live to be at least 130 years just because it would fuck with people.
Well, I think you have sufficiently fucked with people if that's one of your criteria.
Yeah, I definitely have done that.
Well, thanks for having this conversation.
Thank you. It's like I love having conversations with you, Shannon. You're such a bright star in the world.
Well, you enthuse me, and I am grateful for all of you guys out there listening and being interested in this. I can't tell you the amount of feedback, by the way, I'm telling you, that I've gotten from like people listening to one of our podcasts and like completely changing the entire direction of their life.
Good.
So, you know, please get you guys. It's like, we know that the life can be weird and we're trying to give you the tools to make your life wonderful.
Ease, joy, and glory.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Thanks, everybody.
Ciao. thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.